My brother, he was born in this country in 91. So when he was three, he joined Maxella. I think he was back in 93. So yeah, that's how we first knew about Maxella. So it was a beautiful place, especially the garden. He had so much fun, and if you ask him till today, what do you remember? He always talks about the garden. It's so much fun. Less of health and safety issues at that time. So they used to climb trees and hide there, like pickup time, so no one can find them, him and his friend. So they had so many stories and to tell until today, and they had so much fun. And then, of course, when I had my kids, my eldest, he's six now, he joined Maxella, 2011, I believe. Yeah, for about, we stayed a year and a half.
I heard about Maxilla because I worked for the council for the children's service back then when it was called Sure Start, and part of the team moved from Mulmaro to Maxilla, so I used to go there to cover sometimes for one of the teams when they're not around, and yeah, that's how I knew about it, and that's how I knew where it was. And I remember first week, Christine's first week, I think. I remember that time. And yeah, as a parent, I started using it from 2011. I was regular drop-in. I think I used to attend almost every, I used to attend Monday, Tuesday and Friday. I used to be there most mornings, yeah.
I did the first aid course for babies, and I did sewing, and what else? The drop-ins. And I used to always bring people there, and
The
they
clinic, did
always
you use
loved
the
it.
clinic?
The clinic occasionally, yeah. And of course, yeah, I always invited people to come with me, so to make the maximum use of the services. For me, it was really comfortable, relaxing, especially that a few of them spoke Arabic, so I felt right at home, fitted so quickly. And everyone else was always smiling. Everything just, it was like, even if the weather's not nice outside, it always, to me, it was bright, light. When it's sunny, it's sunny. You can feel the sun almost inside. And through the people, they're always, the staff were like top service. Never ever had a problem with anyone, and no one ever had a problem with anyone I knew. And everybody just loved it, and people, felt relaxed. We loved the tea and coffee bit. And then of course when our kids had a quick snack, and it's absolutely beautiful.
From a very young age, I used to get my daughter to access all the services, try to find out what I like, where which one's suitable with her sleep, with her, just get an idea, feel of what the drop-ins was. And I think Maxilla stood out for me because it was quite a walk. It's almost like 15, 20 minutes walk for me here. I passed almost two, three drop-ins, like, or to come there. And for me, because I felt home, I felt from home to home. The minute you come to the door, Noel and Anne-Marie, it's just they're welcoming, and you just feel you're welcome there. And I love about that. And the minute we got there, and you meet people from all walks of life, from, I don't know, from, you meet Asian, in English and black and everything. Like you're so diverse, and it just reflects the area very well. And for me, that was very important for my children to grow in that kind of environment. That's the world we live in. And so for me, that kind of stood out for me. So whenever we go, my child will play with everybody, and that's the kind of mentality I want her to grow and know that this is the world how it should be. And Maxil, I think that represents that.
Well, Christine approached me. I had no plan to become one, and she's like, "When I'm gonna get your application?" I'm like, "What application?" For the the governor role. I was like, "No, I'm not applying. No, I think you should." And then I started thinking, "Oh, maybe I should." And then I started reading the spec, and we did run, the governor election, and I was really happy. Of course, a bit worried. What does it involve? What am I supposed to do? How do parent governors behave? I never had a clue. I'd never met anyone before, so I started like investigating, and having a sociable character, I think it made it easy for me. And then I was happy to be the voice of people, and to pass on messages and, you know, to represent Maxella. And, you know, it was an honour for me to be part of Maxella.
It was nice seeing your picture when you come into the Maxella. Somebody that looks like you is a governor. Kind of, it diversifies the whole
really?
Setting. Yeah, it was good. It was
I think that was
really
the point.
Uplifting.
Yeah. But it's very important not just to look, is to act and really, you know, be like an ambassador, you know, to these people, the one I look like them, you know, with my headscarf, and, you know, to, like, you know, where I am.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do care so much about, you know, what happens to Maxella and how things are run and the standard. And I think we should all be involved. And it was created by parents and... You know, I think that's what kept it going. And it made it special because parents did care. The people who came to the drop-in, to the nursery, they did care so much about Maxella.
I think for me, initially I applied for Maxella because we used to come to the drop-in and I just put her name down. And because by then Maxella and Gorbun have merged, so they have kind of the same... waiting list, or they kind of communicate who goes where, and I think they worked on distance that Eliana would be better to go Gorbun. And when Gorbun made me an offer, I said no, I want to wait for Maxella, and they said no, we spoke to Maxella, I think you're closer. And for me, I said no, I want her to go to Maxella because she knows a lot of the staff, she knows a lot of the faces, she knows the environment, and she enjoys it there. I loved Gorbun. I mean, I went to it, and you know, the team were absolutely welcoming. But for me, I don't know, Maxella stood out for me and to what I believe that a setting should look like, and Maxella stood, you know, that represented that. So I knew I was making quite a commitment because I knew it was quite a distance from where I was, where I lived. So I was persistent making sure that she got in there. She couldn't tell apart, I think, between the drop-in and the Maxella, that she's just spending more hours in the playgroup rather than she's in a setting. I think that kind of helped, yes. True. I think when you look at Maxella from outside, you don't think such a garden exists in the back of her. Even when you're outside Maxella, you don't expect a room like so huge and such a creative place exists, because you kind of, it's like saying don't judge book by its cover, and that's Maxella at its best, you know, like.
Yes, that's how we met, isn't it?
Yeah, and we got involved in other things we knew.
Yes.
Now we're both in the parents advisory board.
We are, yes. we do.
So we're going to attend those kind of meetings every 3 months.
Yes.
And
we made a lot of friends and getting involved in campaigning for Maxella as well.
Yeah.
We got close with quite a lot of parents, and that kind of opened the door to meet up and, you know, take it further. And, you know, I don't know, a group of parents who just wanted to better their community and their children's lives.
Yeah.
I think that's that kind of thing you meet. It created that kind of sense of community, belonging, I think. That kind of what we got out of Maxella.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, but I think like Muna said, we're kind of the sort of people who like to get up and get involved. Like, you wouldn't want to wait somebody else to do it. And I think initially I was like, I wanted to get involved, but I don't know, they had a lot of commitment with having 2 young kids, but I thought it was very important. It was bigger than me, it's bigger than my children, it's bigger than the community. This is what it needs. And I think I vaguely remember the last time they campaigned about Maxella, I think, it was just right before I started with the council. So it was still up in the air about the whole thing. And I remember how much effort the parents at that time had put and how much campaign they did. And that was inspiring to know that they kept it going for another, I don't know how many years after that. And so this, when this came again, you knew it was inevitable that this would come around. So it was our responsibility because we are the parents of it now. It's happening in our time, in our, you know, before us. So I said, no, you have to get involved, because then they kept it going for my child to enjoy it now. So I have to keep it going for the next children, the next, you know, generation to enjoy. And I think that was the deciding factor for me to get involved. And it was tough because it was disheartening at times because there was a lot of lip service, not much was getting done. And I can understand why a lot of the counselors and the man, you know, the head of the services would feel that, because nobody can come and make a promise and change anything. Everything goes into meeting, everything goes into discussion, everything is decided, I think, collectively, I think. So that was difficult because there was no one person who can go and convince you need this. So that was difficult because you don't know which one makes the most impact or who doesn't. So, but generally, you just try to reach all of them, or whenever they attend you, the meeting, when they came to Maxilla, we spoke to them. And I remember Million saying that after we all spoke and everybody was upset, everybody, it was just after they announced it. And we asked the head of the council and a few of the earliest managers and said, so after all we've spoken, so are you going to do anything about it? And they just sat there and said, honestly, no, we can't. They just let us vent it out, but nothing really happened because they're just there to hear what you have to say, but not... Because it's disheartening that you came prepared, you took time off to speak to them, to engage with them, and in the end they tell you there's not much they can do. It's disheartening, and that's the kind of things you're against, I think. And that was tough, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was very, very tough. They already made a decision maybe a few months ago, even a few years ago. You don't know. You know, this is the thing, we just don't know. It goes behind, you know, closed doors, decisions made, and, you know, it takes time for us to get the message. By the time we get it, it's, you know, we don't have that much time to really try to save, you know, what we loved. But the thing is, I always just thought straight away, the garden. This is the thing that maybe we should really put our energy in. So realistically, I think as early as possible, I can remember, it's like, I just save the garden. Save the garden.
Ursula, I wrote her name before, I forget, but I wanted to mention it because she was the drive of the campaign.
Absolutely.
Wasn't she?
She
was
great, yeah.
She was the front of the campaign, and she kind of, when we all kind of at times were busy or down or like disheartened, she was always pushing and persistent and just kept everything going. The Maxilla Archive Project is somehow, it would live on.
Yeah,
the good thing that came out of it all these years that served the community, and it served so many mothers, and you know, and and it will be archived, it will be recorded, it will be there.
Yeah,
you know, because from last summer to now, my memories can't interfere from how Maxilla was, and this will keep that alive. I think that's what we're hoping. That's I hope that will come out of it. And at some point, something, somebody, a leader or like, you know, no council or something envisioned this, then hopefully they'll look back to this and see how parents were happy, how children were happy, how the community was happy having that in the middle of our community.
So I'm really happy for the Maxilla Archive Project. And it just, like Lydia says, it makes me feel warm, like, you know, it will never just be forgotten. You know, it'll be in our heart, and then now it's in archive. So, you know, people wouldn't know how we felt about it and how it was. And like you said, things change. That's what we like sometimes in life, that, you know, things never stays the same, you know. And we just hope that it's gonna come back even better and bigger.